If you will, we'll start today by turning to 2 Timothy 3 and beginning in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 starts out by saying, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, and blasphemers. They will be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They will be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power." If you look around the world today, what do you see? Are these conditions in the world as we see it today? You know, beginning in verse 2, Paul said that men will be lovers of themselves. Now, when we think about ourselves all the time, it ends up leading to wrong motivations and wrong actions. Being self-centered is not showing love for others. And in fact, each one of those attributes that was listed here in 2 Timothy 3 really doesn't show love for others. If you will, turn to Romans 2 and verse 8. And I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. It says, "But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness." And so it was as I was writing this sermonette that I couldn't help but think about how great it is that we know the truth. And we can look around us and see, based on God's word, what is going on, what is coming, and how we can avoid these things. It happens to be so powerful and empowering. So then, because that we have this knowledge, we know what is expected of us as Christians. Now, this could be, you know, a wide open book, it could be a sermon, but there is something that I want to pull out today that is very prevalent throughout the Bible. You know, a lot of the legends in the Bible, they were referred to as servants. But if that word servant, what isn't just found in the Old Testament, it's also found in the New Testament. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apostles, was constantly referring to himself as a bondservant. Now, the word bondservant comes from a Greek word, doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S, which meaning is one who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of his master, a slave. So we know that we are to be living our lives in subjection to God's laws as a way of life, just as a servant would be living his life in obedience to his master. And while we could go off on that trail, the Bible does, you know, point out that it is our duty to be serving God. But there's also a second point that I'm pulling out today. We have a duty and an obligation to serve our fellow man. Now, what does this concept of serving our fellow man convey for us? Well, it has to be one of deep emotion. It has to be one of love. And it's not something that we can just conjure up out of thin air. but rather it takes fostering and it takes action. Whether it's at work, at home, here at church, or maybe with friends, this type of attitude of being a servant takes time, takes being willing to serve others and to serve without expecting anything in return. So let's look at Christ's words on this very subject and realize that the Bible endorses this attitude. John 15 and verse 12. And we'll read to verse 22, John 15 and verse 12. Christ says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Verse 15, "But no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." 16, "And you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And these things I command you, that you love one another. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you were not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Verse 20, "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. And if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also." So we are considered friends of Christ if we keep his commandments. But yet our actions should be that of a servant. To be humble and to be willing to help people at all times. Now Christ considered us his friends, so much so that he himself died, literally laying down his life for us so that we could have a better opportunity to live our life now and in the future. Matthew 20, verses 26 and 27 point this out a little bit further. Matthew 20 and verse 26, Christ again, "Yet it will not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." Verse 28, "For just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So when we are living this type of life as a servant, we will exude a certain type of attitude towards others, and not just people that we call friends. Now, Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So we see that we have a duty as well to be servants at church. Well, what about at work? You know, we all have to make a living. We all have to go to work, and we have responsibilities there as well. If you will, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 5. Ephesians 6 and beginning in verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So we see that even at work, there is no downtime in being a Christian. What about in marriage? You know, in marriage, each person should be looking out for the better interest of their spouse. If you will, turn to Ephesians 5. I didn't have to turn the page in my Bible. Ephesians 5 and beginning of verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So we see we should also be submitting to one another there as well. And in general, I think that we can all take heed to two of Paul's final admonitions here that I will read. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And the last scripture, Philippians 2 and verse 3, from the New International Version, read this first. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. It's a good task. And from the New Living Translation, the same scripture, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And this is what it means to be a servant